Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
Time to talk football with the professor, John Clayton, as we do every day at this time. Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. If you guys have questions for John, text them in right now, 206-421-3776. That's 421-ESPN. We'll try to get to some of your questions before we let John go for the day. Hello, John.
Hello, guys.
How are you?
Hanging in there.
Okay. Hey, I saw the comments from Coach Flores on the Watson potential trade, and he's putting the foot down that, you know, Tua's our quarterback and, you know, their support for Tua. Is that just lip service out there in Miami, or what do you think the reality is that they are trying to acquire Watson and all of that good stuff that's happening out there?
I believe John McClain, he's one of the most wired guys in the National Football League, particularly, you know, covering the Houston Texans like he does. And, you know, he said, because remember, he was the one who said it would never happen. Many times, and now he's saying it very well could happen. So I think it's just lip service, because at this stage, I mean, you've got a desperate coach and a desperate general manager. They've lost five in a row. Tua hasn't done well, but they also have to protect themselves in case they can't get the right deal done by November 2nd, because if that's the case, then Tua has to be there the rest of the year. And you can see a lot of the comments coming out by the reporters down in Miami, how unfair they think that they've treated Tua. You know, giving them the wrong offense. I mean, one of the stories I didn't know is that apparently Tua had some difficulties with Chan Gailey, who's one of the great offensive minds in football, you know, longtime veteran coach, has always done a great job, and they didn't get on the same page, and so they fired Gailey. And right now, I don't think they have the offense around him, both with talent and coaching, that makes it work.
It's kind of a shame, because I thought Brian Flores, I mean, he's down there, could, you know, turn that team around, 10-6. They had all these draft choices. Wow. I mean, it's quite a shock this year. I don't know if anybody predicted this.
I don't think nobody predicted this. I mean, you can't. It's like, because again, I mean, this was a team that was supposed to be on the rise. You know, a team that, wasn't going to be able to catch Buffalo, but was a team that should stay ahead of New England. And right now they can't even beat Jacksonville and the great Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
You love that.
Well, back here, John, Bob and I were talking a lot about Trey Brown. Mm-hmm. What do you think? I mean, we're kind of going back and forth, because 2019, I felt like they didn't play their rookies as much as I would have liked anyway, like Ugo Amadi and Marquise Blair. But last year played tons of rookies. I mean, almost everybody got a shot.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think with Trey Brown? Do you think Pete's going to – does he trust him enough to start him? How much do you think you're going to see of him?
I think so, because, again, if Sidney Jones is not able to play, or at least if he's questionable and, you know, not able to completely do enough, then I think there's no question that he has to be able to start.
Yeah. But so, what if Sidney Jones is ready to go? What do you think?
They mix him in.
Yeah,
because, again, I think it depends on how Sidney Jones warms up on Monday night, you know, whether he can, you know, get that done. And so, I think that could be the case.
Hey, John, we were just talking about the John Gruden thing we brought up with you, where you're saying, hey, the truth will come out. And we all kind of went, well, it's in writing. It seems like it's out there already. But it's I think people forget that he got caught up in this whole investigation that was centered around the Washington football team and everything that was going on with them behind closed doors. And you bring up the number of emails there are, and now you've got members of Congress saying that they, you know, these things need to be brought into the light, which I agree with. I'm not sure why Congress is getting involved, but I do agree that, you know, Gruden shouldn't be just the only face of this thing, that the original inspiration was centered around the Washington football team. So do we think we're going to see anything come of it? Or is it, I mean, a year-long investigation and we haven't really heard anything?
No. I mean, again, they had to, you know, sacrifice $10 million as a fine. You know, Dan Snyder had to step back from the day-to-day operation, so he gave it to his wife, which means that Dan Snyder's still running the team. So basically, there hasn't been a change there, even though it looks like on paper there has been. But, you know, I just don't trust the NFL right now to do anything. I mean, because, again, owners protect owners. And even though Dan Snyder's not the most popular owner, I think they'll still try to protect him as best as possible. And if that's going to be the case, then, he's going to you know, not have anything done, but something needs to be done. I mean, you had 40 women that were in the one of the worst environmental type of work situations you can have, and you know, you have all these naked pictures being emailed and sent around, and naked pictures being taken, and sexual harassment and everything else. So no, I hope that something gets done, but I'm not optimistic.
Hey, John, we were listening to three different cuts, Jordan Brooks, Bobby Wagner, Jamal Adams.
Mm-hmm.
All three sounded pretty familiar. They all sounded the same, basically, as far as the communication. You think that that's just, okay, this is the what we're coming up with? Because I don't see how it can be that when you've got such good players that have been, I mean, they've had enough time to get the communication down. They had all of camp. What do you make of that?
Well, just go through the first five games. I didn't see the communication on the field. I mean, maybe they talked a good talk, but I didn't see the communication because they weren't in sync. Now, they came together so much better in that second half last week, and you can see the communication getting better. But no, I tend to think that the communication is a big issue. I don't care if you have three Pro Bowl type players, if you include Diggs and everything else, but if they're not on the same page, then you have the results that this team has had.
How is it possible? Through six games, you're still, hey, we're not on the same page. What does that even mean? You're spending the entire week focusing on that one opponent, and as you're broken up into different groups, the linebackers, mm-hmm. cornerbacks, defensive line, you all get together, you're going through the game plan, you know communication has been an issue in the previous weeks. How is it possible to walk out there and do that again and say, yeah, we're just on a different page?
Well, because, again, I think what you're looking at is that you know, they're making some subtle changes or big changes. Overall, I mean, remember, the season started out with Trey Flowers being the starting cornerback.
And?
He's out, gone, and in Cincinnati. Then it became Sidney Jones, and then they brought in Trey Brown last week. And so you've had, you know, three different cornerbacks that have been out there. Then, of course, they take, you know, DJ Reed and now move him from the left side to the right side. So, you know, you have that issue, and they just did that last week. And then, you know, you don't know how many linebackers are going to be on the field, you know, and how many times they're going to go into seven defensive backs. And so you have all these different things that you can see why. And plus, we all knew with the fact that you had 592 players sit out of the preseason and so many starters, it was going to take a month to be able to get things all together. And I think that that's part of the problem, too.
John, come on, man. Come on, man. This is not a new defense. This is not a new defensive coordinator. You've got a lot of the same players that have been there. They were there last year. I get guys shuffling in and out because of injury. You got a new cornerback, okay, but that doesn't explain a linebacker that's been there for a decade having communication problems or anybody else that's been there. That doesn't, you know, I'm sorry. That's not good enough.
Communication deals with seven players, not just one. I mean, Bobby Wagner can communicate. But if they're not listening as well, then it's not working. So, I mean, just because Bobby Wagner's had such a great career and all that stuff, I mean, just don't put it on Bobby Wagner.
No, I'm putting it on Ken Norton is what I'm doing. I'm saying if there is a problem with communication and everybody on that side of the ball is saying it, yet it's not being fixed, then it comes from the top. It comes from the man who's putting the plan in place. Is it too complex? Is it, as Dave said, maybe there are too many exceptions to the rules and this or that? Whatever it is.
So basically, I'm getting the idea, Bob, you want Ken Norton Jr. fired.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think he's doing a good job, John. I mean, that's the bottom line. I think he's a great guy. I think he's a great linebacker coach. The idea that communication is a problem after 6 weeks with a defense that's not new. If we were talking about the offense and Shane Waldron and going, hey, it's all new and they're having communication issues, that would make perfect sense because it's new terminology, it's a new system. You don't have that excuse on the other side.
So who's the replacement?
I don't know.
Well, there you go. That's the problem.
What? So
because the simple thing is, and you've seen it in this town, and it's not, I mean, just you, and but I mean, it's like as soon as something goes wrong, get rid of the guy. Get rid of the guy. Get rid of the guy. Okay, well, who's there to replace him? Who's there to replace the Trey Flowers? Who's there to replace a Ken Norton Jr.? And it's like, you know, everybody wants to be rash and think, you know, one move can solve the problem. Well, it may not be the case.
I think it's probably something that should have been addressed in the offseason, to be honest. This is not a new problem with the defense. They were historically bad, John, last year. Historically bad. So this has been a downward trend. This is not just an overreaction, knee-jerk reaction to this season. So I think it's something that should have been addressed in the offseason.
Yeah, but it wasn't. And so now what do you do? I mean, you try to make the best of the situation. And again, if you fire Ken Norton Jr. now, who are you getting?
I don't know who's behind him. Who's the
Clint Hurt is the assistant head coach. Yeah. I mean, you know, Pete. I mean, look, you see Brandon Staley. He calls the defense down in with the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I guess Pete could call it. I mean, I'm beyond frustrated with that and the lack of communication and,
mm-hmm.
and some of the things that I'm seeing are just bad. And that, you know, it's funny you. Like PFF, you know, some of the things that they do and, you know, when they're giving people a high rating and on what I'm looking at, I'm not seeing it, man. You know, so anyway, I think there is some merit to what you're saying, though, John, that who are you going to get? I mean, because halfway through, it's kind of like, you know, they talk about Cam Newton coming in. You know, well, is he going to learn? I mean, you've got so much invested in him. But, I mean, I think I'm with Bob, though, on the whole thing of maybe they should have addressed it in the offseason. But, you know, they didn't know this was going to happen again.
Right.
At the end of the season, it was starting to repair. But you know, I'll go back to this. What we have been saying back and forth is maybe they need the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe next year Pete Carroll decides to you know, play differently and, you know, get – I don't know. It'd be interesting to go and you look at, like, Kansas City, they were playing their guys, and they're not doing so great.
Mm-hmm.
But so was Arizona, and mm-hmm. they're doing great. So I just think I wonder if it's there's some value in the preseason that people are going to start to see. Because Pete disagreed with that. He was like, hey, we don't need the preseason.
Yeah. Well, so live and learn.
Maybe.
I think I agree with you. I think that they definitely need to get some preseason action in, you know, because I think they paid a price for it. But, I mean, of course, I mean, you can see – you know, after the season, if something's going to happen, and, you know, obviously the first name that comes to mind is going to be Gus Bradley because he's on a Raiders staff where John Gruden got fired. Now he's not available now because they need him to see how they can salvage this season. And so he's a defensive coordinator, but Bradley's been here. You know, they're not going to be able to get Dan Quinn because he's done a good job down in Dallas. But
he was on the market in the offseason, right?
He was. But nothing happened.
Boy, tough injury news for the Bucs. Antoine Winfield, that's the good news. He's cleared, but they rule out Gronk, Antonio Brown, Levante David, Richard Sherman. This could be a rough week for him, John.
Yeah, I would think. But they are resilient, and we're seeing a lot of resilient teams. I mean, take a look last night. We saw a resilient team in Cleveland that was down to their third-string running back. They didn't have right tackle Jack Conklin. They had their starting quarterback. And by the way, does Case Keenum look like the best backup quarterback in the league after what we saw last night?
Look pretty well. I think the best backup running back is that D'Ernest Johnson. I mean, he was just a man out there.
146 yards.
His first game, 22 carries, 146 yards, and a touchdown.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Wow! And that's your third string running back. Is that him, or is that what kind of O line does Cleveland have? We don't watch them, so are they notorious for having a good line, a decent line? What's the word?
One of the best in football.
Okay.
Now again, they didn't have Jack Conklin at right tackle. You can see their left tackle, who's young, Wiltz, is I don't think he's very good. He's a former first-round pick. Don't necessarily like him all that much. But, I mean, Joel Bitonio is one of the gritty guards in this league. You know, J.C. Tretter is the union president, and he's the center. I know he's been fighting a knee injury, but he's still going to continue to play. But, no, they've got a really good offensive line. And so, and you could see it, how well they did, and particularly, you know, against, and you talk about the, you know, lack of resilience or whatever you want to call it. I mean, Denver, and Dave, as a former linebacker, have you ever seen a team down seven linebackers? Seven.
Yeah. You know, I was reminiscing 1990.
Mm-hmm.
We had like five or six different starting combinations at the end of the year. But no, never, you know, seven at a time.
They got five guys on injured reserve, including their starting two inside linebackers. You know, Bradley Chubb still remains on injured reserve. And then during the game, you know, Micah Kizer, the former Ram, he gets hurt. He couldn't finish. And then Von Miller gets hurt. They had basically nothing left.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of injuries, we've been kind of speculating. You know anything about D. Eskridge? Because we just haven't
nothing.
Heard anything
nothing.
About him in a while.
So weird.
Is that – it's kind of concerning maybe?
Yeah, has to be. I mean, the longer it goes, the worse you have to think it is. So, no, I think it has to be very concerning. And we're talking almost now the whole season.
Well, it's kind of weird just because, I mean, we only saw him, what, touch the ball three times?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, two carries, one reception.
Yeah, but, I mean, the times that he did, I mean, on both the fly sweeps, he beat Darius Leonard. Now, I know you should be a linebacker when you're a wide receiver, but still, that's one of their best players.
And yeah, but also remember, Leonard was playing hurt at the time.
He was hurt in week one?
Yeah. He was probably playing about 75%.
Well, my experience is you don't go out there at 75%. But anyway, yeah, he's, you know, Eskridge just showed a lot of, you know, a lot of speed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it looks like they could really use him. And, you know, it's a shame because now with Trey Brown playing, I thought Forsythe did a really good job in the preseason. And, yeah, you get him, and now all of a sudden you got a nice little youth movement with two-thirds of your draft. That sounds like a lot, but it's only two guys.
Mm-hmm. No, agreed.
John, the 425 asking a question for John Clayton. John, I don't know when the trade deadline is, but would Marlon Mack be somebody the Seahawks could look at if Chris Carson is out indefinitely and Alex Collins is not healthy moving forward?
It could be, yeah. I mean, because he's a former 1,000-yard back. I mean, you know, he can fit into this scheme. He could. I know San Francisco has been talking to Indianapolis about him the last few weeks, but yeah, he could be a consideration. Because again, you know, he's still on his rookie contract, so he's not making much money.
Yeah. Hey, John, bold pick of the week. The Texans are going to beat the Cardinals.
Whoa, Dave.
I'm just kidding. 1-5 versus 6-0. What a stinker. Zero chance.
Zero.
Okay, who beats who worse? Do the Cardinals beat the Texans by more than the Rams beat the fighting kneecap biters in the 0-6 Detroit Lions?
I have to think that Matthew Stafford's going to put on a show.
Yeah.
Jared Goff will not. And so I have to think that's going to be the biggest margin of victory, with Houston being second.
Yeah, there you go. I agree. I mean, the Rams look really – I know they're not 6-0 like the Cardinals, and I know the Cardinals beat the Rams, but they look pretty dominant right now, John. They're feeling it.
They are. They look good.
John, the 208 asking, what grade would you give Shane Waldron so far this year?
I'd give him a B. I mean, because, again, you can see that he brought, you know, a lot of new stuff that can work. It certainly worked with Russell Wilson, you know, and at times. And there's times where it didn't work. But I think that you can see that there's something there. I mean, you know, I think the biggest thing is what you saw from, you know, Russell Wilson last year holding the ball for 2.9 seconds because he's always trying to make that extra play. But, I mean, Shane had it down to 2.66 at one point. That's good.
Hey, John, Kansas City, I know that early on and pretty much still, they're struggling on defense. But, you know, I think they're going to be able to right the ship. They're at Tennessee this week. What do you think?
Won't be easy, but let's fire John Spagnuolo. Fire John Spagnuolo. We got to fire their defensive coordinator. I'm just
Steve.
Joking. Steve Spagnuolo, yeah. So it's like, fire Steve Spagnuolo. But no, I think that it's one where he's, I think they'll do a much better job, but it's going to be tough because, you know, Julio Jones hasn't lived up to his potential yet. And, you know, he can do well, I think, against the cornerbacks of the Chiefs. And then, of course, you look at the fact that, you got all these, different guys on the defensive line that have played hurt. They still don't know whether Chris Jones is going to be able to play. And you know that they've gotten hardly anything out of Frank Clark. That has to be, you know, a misnomer right now to see where that's all heading. it's going to be tough, but still, they're the better team. They've got the better quarterback.
John, Jimmy Garoppolo will return as a starter for the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday night after a three-week hiatus. Trey Lance is hurt, so...
Yeah.
What do you think they do when they're both healthy? Or is that going to depend on how Garoppolo looks in these next couple of – I don't know how long Lance is expected to be out.
Yeah, because he's out this week again with that knee injury. No, they're going to stay with Garoppolo because Garoppolo gives them the better chance of making the playoffs. And again, maybe it's going to be tough at 2-3, but still he gives them the better chance of winning, particularly against better teams, until Trey Lance, you know, gets to learn more under his belt. And the fact that now he's missed a couple weeks and not been able to practice and all that stuff, that can't help him move forward. So, no, once Jimmy Garoppolo is healthy, and you know, which he is this week, he's going to finish the season, I think, as a starting quarterback.
John, you doing your show tomorrow?
Yes, indeed. Now, it's going to be a shorter show because Washington State football has a 12:30 game. So the pregame is going to be at 10:30. And so I'm on taking your phone calls from 8 to 10:30. And by the way, the trade deadline is supposed to be about November 2nd.
Okay.
But yeah, ironically, it's voting day.
Oh, all right. Yeah. There you go. That makes it easy to remember. So yeah. 8 to what did you say? 10:30?
8 to 10:30 taking your phone calls.
All right. There you go. And we will talk to you on Tuesday because we've got no show on Monday because of obviously the Seahawks pregame show. So have a great weekend, John. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, sounds good.
There you go. If you missed any of today's cold, hard facts, brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill, download the podcast at 710sports.com. You guys can text in throughout the show, 206-421-3776. That's 421-ESPN, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company.
You excited to watch Sunday football? Without having to, you know, take notes.
Rewind. I do a lot of that. That's why, you know, former girlfriends hated watching the game with me because I would go, wait, what happened there? And I rewind. What are you doing? I want to see what happened on that play.
Because I know it'll be of interest. In addition to Red Zone, the national game that most people get at 10 a.m., Titans-Chiefs. So there you go.
Ooh, boy.
Sit down and enjoy that one.
I got to go with Red Zone, man.
Well, do both.
Yeah. I only have one TV.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Let me show you the game-breaking invention called You Can Watch It on Your Computer. I'll explain that to you.
Wow.
It's a game changer.
Wow, a little snark there from Lefko.
No, I just want to help you guys out.
Yeah.
So you can watch a full game and you can watch Red Zone also.
Lefko's giving me kind of the equivalent of a mean text. Right
yeah, kind of. Yeah, well, he's older now, dude.
Sarcasm. Oh, yeah, he reaches 32. And
not
all of
not
a
yet.
33.
Oh, you're going to be
not
33.
Older yet. Tomorrow.
Well, right, you're older than you were yesterday.
Yeah, the back's starting to hurt. All right. Let's stretch it out.
Start making dad
here,
jokes.
Use Dave's little massager thing he's got there. That'll help you out. Yeah, a lot of texts coming in on Norton. And, yeah, listen, I'm not one of those people that's running around, fire everybody. I never say that. Rarely say that. I think this has been a long-developing situation. This is not a knee-jerk to this year. And what's 6 games? You can't have it. Get rid of him. Come on, man. Come on. We were here last year. We were here the year before. It's progressively gone the wrong direction. And there's some saying, well, why would you fire him? It's Pete's defense. Well, and we've debated that. We don't really know. Is it Pete saying, here's how it's going to go. These are the plays you're going to call. And whoever's there is just a figurehead. They're just a face. And they've got no autonomy at all. If that's the case, then Pete needs to relinquish his command of the defense. If that's the case, which I don't think it is. But if that's the case, then Pete needs to hands off. Let somebody handle it. Let somebody else get in there and get fresh eyes on it and sort of reassess what's happening there.
Yeah, I think it would be interesting to know like how much, like when they do the installation during the week, how much is Pete involved in that? Because, you know, like I said, it could be a Brandon Staley type of deal where, as you mentioned, you get fresh eyes on it. You get, okay, I'm going to dedicate myself to, you know, just doing the defense. And, you know, you got enough guys on the offensive side. Shane Waldron, you know, you handle that side. I'm going to focus much more on this side. I mean, that's something that could happen. But, I mean, I get the whole thing about, like I said, I compared it to bringing in Cam Newton. He doesn't know the offense.
Yeah.
You know, and so anybody who's coming in, they're not going to be able to, you know, they have to learn all the new. It has to be somebody here, right, first of all. And then, you know, you'd have to kind of relearn things, but
or maybe they split duties. Maybe they take something off his plate, and there's a co-defensive coordinator, or you know, they have, you know, associate head coaches, assistant head coaches. Why not an associate defensive coordinator or assistant defensive somebody with more say to help him out, or so if there's too much on his plate, or
well, I mean, there's an opportunity to continue to improve. What did they give up last week? Was it 377? I think. Or
something like
It was it was an improvement from the 455 they were giving up. So, you know, if we can see another week of, you know, improvement there and, you know, start to get, you know, if they can win 2 out of these 3 and hopefully with the bye week you can get Russ back for Green Bay and they continue to repair it, then okay.
All right, coming up, Rashad Penny is aware of what everyone is saying and he's ready to put all doubters aside. He's gonna do his best to do that. And by the way, he gives us an interesting revelation on how he thinks of injuries. I thought it was kind of a funny remark. We'll let you hear what he had to say. Coming up next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob, brought to you by Angel of the Winds Casino Resort on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
We heard from Rashad Penny today, and Dave, you and I were just saying during the break, I forgot what his voice sounded like.
I know.
I don't remember the last time I heard him speak.
Yeah, I think it was early 2019 when we had him into the little room out there in the Cortez Kennedy Memorial Room. You know, well, that's back before the pandemic when we could have guys come in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't remember. He's a pleasant guy, thoughtful guy. Like him. Great. Want him to have success.
Rooting for him to be great. I'm rooting for LJ Collier to be great. Anybody that I'm critical of on this team, I want to do well. I would, like I was telling you during the break, I don't, that's the distinction between being a cynic and just being objective, in my opinion, because a lot of the cynics are really satisfied with being right when something goes wrong.
Right.
Like, I told you they would stink. Right. I told you that guy's no good. And there's sort of a satisfaction to it. I'd much rather be wrong. If I say, yeah, I think the Seahawks are going to lose, and then we come in on Monday and they win, I'm like, I'll wear it. I love it. I'm a Seahawks fan. I don't want to be right about any negative thing that I think is going to happen.
Well, and the thing is, too, if you go in, like going into the season, if you went LJ Collier, Rashad Penny, Trey Flowers, the way that, you know, their careers have gone, you got a 50-50 shot being whether he's going to be good or he's going to be bad.
Right.
And so people are like, I told you he was bad. I'm like, okay, based on what?
Right. Yeah, I'd much rather think, I don't think this guy's good, and he turns out to be awesome, and go, just judge that. Didn't see that coming. That's because I'm a fan of the team. I want him to be great. I want these guys to be great.
I'm not a fan, Bob. I'm an objective reporter.
Yeah, I feel like we're objective, but I'm still a fan. I think you can be both.
I
think
I would say you're not objective. I wouldn't say objective is the word, Bob.
No,
I would say demanding.
I demand better,
and I demands answers.
I need answers. I need explanations. Why, Dave? Why? Well, why?
Bob, I long for the days when you used to complain about the offensive line.
Yeah, that's
instead of the defense. You know that hurts. That hurts. But I'm with you. I'm with you on the complaints.
We're in the same boat on that one, my friend. So Rashad Penny spoke with the media today and talked about how it, you know, coming through these injuries and how tough they've been for him, and he and what he does to avoid them.
Not really shooting for anything personal. I mean, I'm just happy to play football again. Like, I know many people know, like, I really try not to get hurt. Like, you know, I prepare the right way to do everything right. You know, I thought, you know, losing the weight and coming in and doing what I do was perfect for me this year. But, you know, I never, like, never let myself down. I always just, you know, fought through because, you know, it's a mental game. And that's something that I've definitely got stronger over the time. So I'm just thankful, you know, it wasn't something worse than what it was.
I love that. I really try not to get hurt.
We're going to save that clip. That's really well done. I mean,
he was smiling when he said it. I was watching the video, and it was funny. You're like, I'm not doing this on purpose. I'm really trying not to get hurt.
Well, I would say, I mean, he's just kind of saying it, and I don't think he, I mean, because my first reaction was like, you can't play trying to not get hurt.
Yeah.
Right?
That's when you get hurt.
Exactly. So, but no, what he's saying is, because I'm sure he hears, you know, the criticism, oh, Penny's hurt again. Oh, of course. And like, he's sitting there going, you think I enjoy this?
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be, as much as we get frustrated as fans and, you know, that you pick this guy here, he hasn't done anything. Yeah. He's probably going, man, I'm dying to get on the field. I can't wait to get on the field. Right. And here he is asked about how he got hurt in his answer.
How did you get hurt? I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, we play this game. It's a violent game for us. I mean, especially for running backs. And, you know, like I said, I really don't go out there to just miss games. Like, I don't come in here to miss games, miss practice. I really try to be available, but, you know, you just, sometimes your body say no. And unfortunately, my body's been saying no to me a lot.
Yeah, it's interesting. He says he's not sure how he got hurt. Yeah. So is he... I think part of the blowback on him is that we went through this prior to him with C.J. Procise. Now, C.J. Procise was not a first-round pick, and fair or unfair, that does just carry expectation with it. Whether you're in the top half or the bottom half, you're still a first-round pick, and it brings expectation. It doesn't mean you're going to be great. But we went through that with C.J. where you saw those glimmers, where you'd have a big moment or a big carry or a big game, and then he's hurt for 3 weeks. And it was just his story, and we rooted for him. Great guy. Loved talking to him. Couldn't have been happier if he would have made it and been a superstar, because he was just a really solid guy. But I get why people get cynical, because you're just like, well, why would I count on him being there? He's been more unavailable than available. So you went through all of that with ProSize. It finally comes to an end, and it feels like for a lot of fans, and you see it on the text and Twitter, that you've kind of got another version of that in Rashad Penny.
Yeah, well, remember we had that long tape, you know, or we edited it together that was like all of his injuries.
Yeah. And
people
was like, and it went on for a while.
He's not going to make it. It's his groin, his foot this week. And I mean, it just went on and on and on and on. And but like you said, you know, the flashes of greatness. I was trying to remember his rookie year. I want to say it was against Philadelphia.
You're looking at Penny?
Yeah. No, yeah. I'm looking at ProSize right now, actually. Yeah. And he had like a, it's like a 70-yard touchdown run or something.
Yeah, it was big just, game against New England.
He had a good game against New England. Actually, I remember seeing him run somebody over on the sidelines. I think it was Patrick Chung.
Okay.
Yeah, and so, he showed, he's kind of like Penny, you know, where you saw these flashes, like you said, just exactly the way you said it, and, you know, 66 yards against New England, and then he had another 54 receiving. So, I mean, yeah, he showed all of that, and that's what you see out of Rashad Penny. And again, it's brutal to hear that, you know, Penny had this really good. Was it Lefko that was making a joke that when I said that Rashad Penny's medical grade was like superior in college, and the look on Bob's face was what? Shock.
That's the video clip I posted yesterday.
You
guys
you
had
did
a good discussion on it, but then when you said that Bob's face, you did a double take of it.
Penny?
Yeah. You posted that? I didn't know that was posted.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, anyway.
For those of you on Twitter, check it out.
Yeah. But yeah, I hate to compare it to CJ ProSize because, you know, that didn't end well for him. Yeah. But
it is extremely similar, is it not? I mean, guys that have shown that they can do it, giving you reason to be excited about what they would be like if they were there each and every week, yet just unfortunately hurt way more and unavailable way more than they're healthy and available.
Right. And look, I'm not asking, I mean, I'm sure he's not asking to feel sorry for him. I can just tell you how disappointing that is. It is so, it's especially when you go through a rehab, you know, and I remember, you know, I worked really hard one off season and like this, it was like 4 days before the opener. It was a Sunday night game when they started doing those in 94 and I blew my knee out and it's just like all the work goes down the tube. You know, it's very disappointing. So, but it was good to hear from Rashad Penny there. I like his personality. Like you said, he's
I'm really
kind of
trying not to get hurt. Yeah. All right, coming up, Jamal Adams explains his Sunday night football intro. You're going to hear that next when we sweep the dial with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Scanning the airwaves for the most interesting and entertaining stories of the day. Sweeping the dial. Every afternoon at 4:45 with Wyman and Bob.
Now, we haven't heard much from Jamal Adams lately, and he talked yesterday. He is always a good interview. Found some pretty interesting stuff, and we were all confused. I think a lot of people were confused about his Sunday Night Football intro, so he does explain it here.
It was a viral video that's been, you know, around for a long time. You know, I ran across it. One of my boys sent it to me in a group message, and I just so happened to have my Sunday Night Football intro that I needed to do. And gave him some love. Rest in peace to him. He did pass away. He did get shot back in October. Found that out. Did not know that. But it was just it's a funny viral video that came out. I'm not looking for the apologies. I don't need it. I'm a grown man. I don't care about the memes, the social media. I don't get into that.
Yeah, so he was paying tribute to a kid who released a video, and I can't remember his name, but
Travis Ward. Just looked it up because I forgot.
What was it again?
Travis Ward.
Travis Ward, and he was shot. He said, unfortunately, a kid. He was a young kid, lost his life, but he had a video where he said something about best in the nation. He said it in a kind of a funny way, and that was
his tribute.
Yeah, and nice. but that's a fairly, like, I hadn't seen that video. I wasn't even aware of it prior to that, so I just thought, well, there's just Jamal. Yeah, he's a confident guy, you know, and that's sort of how everybody took it. And a lot of people say, well, boy, you come out and say something like that, you better not have a ball bounce off your face mask, and, you know.
Well, I was pretty sure he was imitating somebody.
Yeah, he kind of was. It was a tribute, clear. But it was kind of saying it like the kid said it in the video.
Right, exactly. So do we have that sound by any chance? No, never mind. Anyway, yeah, I'll do it. Best in the nation. Is that how he did it?
Yeah, and I think it's cool that he's you know, sort of paying tribute to this kid and a really sad story. And
right.
You know, but it is obscure enough to where I understand people's reaction to it. Hopefully people that really laid into him maybe wrote back and he said he didn't care. But I would have been like, oh, my bad. Wasn't aware. Sorry, man.
Well, and you know what's interesting? Like, if you don't know who he is, you see he gets all the money and you see the accolades and everything. He's not a cocky individual. I mean, he's confident in what he can do, but he's not
arrogant.
Yeah, he doesn't talk smack, you know, a lot about how great he is. I mean, that interview with him, you know, the only thing I would say, remember Percy Harvin?
Yeah.
He was a fantastic interview.
He was one of our favorite
ever. He loved the media. He loved us.
Yeah.
He just didn't like his teammates or coaches or anybody that told him to go in a game when he was needed. Or please don't punch people in the locker room.
That didn't turn out well.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're not judging Jamal Adams based on Percy Harvin. That's for sure. I just thought when we talked to him, I just thought he was just a fantastic kid. After we were done, I'm like, that was money well spent. So, but we'll see. I think he's frustrated. I think there's a way to use him and get the most out of him. We saw it mostly last year, and we're not seeing it this year.
Sweeping the dial.
Funny you should mention that, Dave. He does kind of delve into that frustration a little bit, talking about social media and how he avoids it, but also veered off into a tangent about, hey, he'd accept your Facebook request if you ask him.
I'm not on Twitter. I am on Instagram. I love Instagram. I love pictures. I am on Facebook. You can follow me if you want to, but I might not accept you because, you know, I'm very private on the Facebook. You know what I mean? It's just family, close friends, but I might. I think about it, but I don't get caught up in all that, man. You know what I mean? I'm blessed, man. I'm 26. I'm doing what I love to do. I come to work each and every day. I'm happy. My mom's happy. My father's happy. Everybody back home is happy. So I have nothing to complain about.
Like I might accept you. I don't know.
I relate that to remember when we were out there when he wasn't practicing?
Yeah.
And he was waving to everybody that would call his name. And so we called his name and he waved.
Yeah. He was just smiling. Hey, that was before he signed his deal.
I want to go up to him and say, hey, can I be your Facebook friend?
Yeah. He would say yes.
And then I would come to the station and have Lefko show me how to use Facebook.
No, that's another thing you want to avoid. You're smart. You're off Twitter. You're Jamal Adams. You're off Twitter. Facebook.
I'm actually surprised he's on there because it feels like that's being viewed as a much more of an outdated social media platform that you'll hope.
He's old school.
That's got to be a throwback to college. You know, he probably had it in college. It was a big deal then, and then just he stayed on it.
I guess because you know you hear the kids these days saying, "Oh, old people are on Facebook." That's old people stuff.
Not cool anymore.
Yeah.
He said he loves Instagram.
Yeah. He likes pictures.
Yeah, I like pictures.
Instagram's worth it, Dave. You should get on Instagram.
It's like the books that I used to read.
Yeah,
like the ones with lots of pictures.
Sweeping the dial.
Okay, so this was actually a really cool moment. Last night, undrafted free agent D'Ernest Johnson made his first career start for the Browns, rushed for 146 yards and a touchdown, and then was told that he got a shout-out from LeBron James.
You're going to see LeBron shouted you out on Twitter.
You big time.
What?
That's big time right there.
LeBron?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Happy your game.
Don't retweet that.
Man, that's my favorite basketball player. I ain't gonna lie to you. LeBron?
Probably favorite running back right now.
LeBron? Yeah. But it's big time. That is. That's.
He'll drop a two right now.
That's amazing. Bro, that's amazing, bro. LeBron James, I appreciate it, man. That means a lot. You know, that means a lot. You know. Wow.
Sounds like he's going to cry.
I know. Good for him, man. That sounded very genuine. Very, like, he's sort of overwhelmed. Like, really?
Yeah, I like how it kind of sunk in. They get, you know, that clip was long enough. Guy had 168 all-purpose yards, 146 on
first
the ground.
Start.
A touchdown.
Do you think the phone in their GM's office is ringing off the hook for trade proposals? Like, hey, you know, you got Nick Chubb coming back. He'll be healthy. Kareem Hunt will get healthy.
Yeah.
How much for your third string running back there?
Well, John was saying that, you know, he thinks their offensive line is really good. I think it's also coaching. You know, Stefanski, he did a good job last year, too, bringing Baker Mayfield. I mean, I think he's getting the best version of Baker Mayfield, even though he's hurt right now. But and then, you know, he got him a number three running game, and that got them to the second round of the playoffs.
All right, coming up, Special teams week ends with the most undervalued position on the team, the long snapper. Tyler Ott will join us next in our player spotlight with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.